Recently, my family and I, we bought a new grill for our house. And this came after many years of using a old hand-me-down grill. Now, the old grill that I had had seen many miles on it and had just stopped being effective and really working at all. And so we're really excited to try out this brand new grill for the first time. And what we decided to have and make on the grill was hamburgers and corn on the cob. And as you know, different people like their meat cooked differently. My wife likes her hamburgers cooked one way, and I like my hamburgers cooked another way. Medium well and medium. And I'm happy to say that the food actually turned out the way that I intended it to. Everyone liked what they ate, and everyone was happy with the way things turned out. But this is not always the case. Many times I've sought to cook something, usually on the grill, and perhaps it's too well done or not cooked enough. Other times I didn't get the seasoning right. It is seasoned too much or seasoned not enough. And the outcome, while acceptable, ultimately is disappointing. I've been thinking this past week about how life is a lot like trying to cook a recipe, right? All of us are trying to produce certain results, certain outcomes in our daily lives. We believe that by doing something, by following a recipe for life, that if we take the correct steps, it'll produce the outcomes that we actually want. The outcome that we want, we call success. And success can be found in many different places and in many different definitions. For a student, success looks like studying hard and paying attention in class and then getting a good grade. For an employee, it means developing the right qualifications, going into a new job, working hard, doing the right things, and getting promoted through the company. For a parent, it looks like teaching children good values, instilling them with structure, discipline, faith, and love, and watching them grow into faithful, kind, and productive adults. All of us have a different measure for success in our life. But all of us also know what it's like to follow the recipes for life and yet still be unsuccessful. We know what it feels like when it feels like we took the right steps, do the right thing, and perhaps things break down. The outcome isn't what they wanted. Maybe we have a relationship with a person and we try to be kind and good and loving to them, and yet they take our kind, good, and loving actions and reject them and reject us, and the outcome is far from what we wanted. You see, many people define their life by worldly successes and failures. Define their life by achieving outcomes, and the more good outcomes we achieve, the more successful we are, but the more bad outcomes we achieve, we call ourselves failures. And many people live their life feeling like they have failed. Failed in a big way that cannot be redeemed. But our gospel reading today encourages us to consider success and failure differently. Not as the world wants us to consider successes and failures, but as Jesus calls us to consider successes and failures. Jesus in our gospel reading says, being a disciple in the kingdom of God is like being a person who plants seed. And through our actions, through our faithfulness, through our love, through our generosity, we are out in the world every single day as Jesus' representatives planting seeds. But Jesus' pitch seems to lead us to think that most of the time we're going to be more unsuccessful than successful. Jesus offers four different images of what it's like to plant seed in the kingdom of God. Some of the images deal with throwing seed on the ground, and then a bird comes and eats them up, and so the seed doesn't grow. Others deal with the image of throwing seed in thorny and unhealthy soil, and that seed gets choked out and doesn't grow. And finally, Jesus ends with the seed being planted in healthy soil, where the soil grows and matures and becomes a productive and life-giving plant. But what I want to talk about today is not so much the different types of soil, but what I want to talk about today is the rate of success that Jesus says we're going to have. You see, if we're to take this scripture literally, Jesus gives four images, and 75% of the time, three out of four times, a person fails. A person failed to achieve the goal of that seed becoming what it's supposed to be. Now, are we supposed to take this percentage literally? I don't think so. But what I do think we're supposed to look at is that maybe success in the kingdom of God looks different than success according to the world. You see, Jesus gives this image of a person throwing seed and not really being too concerned about what soil the seed is being planted in and what soil it's not supposed to be planted in. I mean, take, for instance, the image of the soil, the seed being planted in the thorny soil, right? I mean, didn't that person know he was throwing that seed in thorny soil? It's almost like they're walking around with their eyes closed, right? Just throwing seed wherever they go. But therein lies the truth of what it means to be successful in the kingdom of God. Therein lies the truth of what it means our lives should look like as disciples of Jesus. And the message is this, that we, as Christians, are called to be faithful and trust God with the result. We, as Christians, are called to be faithful and trust God with the results. See, too often we get bogged down by how people respond to our discipleship. Do they like us? Do they praise us? Do they lift us up and honor us? In Jesus' mind, this isn't such a big deal. Other times we're concerned with worldly outcomes, right? Are our portfolios growing? Are we rising in our company? Are we getting good grades? But again, this isn't something that Jesus was particularly concerned about. On the surface, Jesus never really lived a flashy life, did he? No. He lived a simple life, almost unassuming, indifferent to how the world valued and judged him. What Jesus wants us to do is be faithful and trust God with the results, because if we are, God will take our small seeds and do more than we could imagine with them. It may come as some surprise to you that as a Lutheran pastor, I actually was not baptized in a Lutheran church. I was actually baptized in the Catholic tradition. And the majority of my extended family came from that Catholic tradition. But when I was very small and very young, our house was very full and very busy, and we had kind of drifted away from church a little bit. And my dad, who was a carpenter, took a job at a local Lutheran church. I don't remember what the details were, but he did some work on this church. Well, almost every single day, the pastor of that church, Pastor Don, would come out and talk to my dad. And they would chat for a few minutes, and they would then Pastor Don would go on his way. Well, after my dad finished up the work, Pastor Don, of course, thanked him and paid him. But then at the end of the conversation said, you know, if you ever want to come to church or if you ever want to bring the kids to Sunday school, you're always more than welcome. Well, for the rest of my childhood and my adolescence and all through seminary, that church was my home congregation. It was a church I took my first communion at. It was a church that I was confirmed at, and it was the church that supported me financially and spiritually when I went to seminary. You see, that church became a formative force, not in just my family's life, but also my whole life in becoming the person I am today. in being a person who is standing in front of you and talking to you. Now, did Pastor Don think that when he invited my dad and our family to church, that somehow that was going to lead to one of these kids becoming a pastor? No, I don't think so. I think he was just doing what he believed God called him to do, to invite people to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there were many other people that he invited to come to church, that he invited to learn more about Jesus, who said, no thanks, I'm not interested, and maybe at some point they did, or maybe at some point they didn't. The point is this, that when we are called to faith, when we come to believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that we want him to guide our life, we believe in outcomes that are beyond our understanding, that are beyond even our comprehension. Who could have imagined what Jesus Christ would have done on the cross? When everyone witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross, they probably thought to themselves, well, that was a big waste, right? That Jesus guy, I mean, he started to develop a following, but look at him now. All his friends and family are gone, and he has a death that is reserved only for the worst people and the worst criminals. And yet, after the death of Jesus came the resurrection, something no one was ready for, something no one could have anticipated or imagined. And from there, this faith has grew and grew and grew to the point where more people have heard the name Jesus than any other name uttered in the history of the world. You see, God can take small, seemingly insignificant things and do big things with them. It's been said, and I think it's true, that the greatest thing that we'll ever do may be the thing that we'll never know about. There may be ways that we can impact and touch lives. We can change the course of someone's life with a small interaction, with a small invitation, with a small word of love and kindness in ways that we might never anticipate. So my encouragement for you today is this, that you may trust God with the results, that you may live a life that seeks to be faithful to God's word and what he's calling you to do today. And trust that someday, when you get up to heaven, God is going to sit down with you and show you all the ways that he worked through you, the ways that you understood, but the ways that you never imagined, and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my hope and prayer for you. Be faithful and trust God with the results. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for our opportunity to serve you every single day of our life. And help us not be discouraged by a lack of worldly results or worldly outcomes at times, but help us know that you can work through us in ways that we could never imagine. So help us be faithful to you and your word and trust you with the results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.